This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and the passion. Are you passionate about home theater? Kaleidoscape is. This week, I sit down with Brett Bjorkquist from Kaleidoscape, and we have a great time. Set up by one of my listeners, Joe, asked me a little while ago if I'd like to talk to Brett from Kaleidoscape, and I said, sure, absolutely. Didn't know where this conversation was going to go because I'm not all about touting and promoting products. That's not kind of what this podcast is about. But you know what this podcast is about? It really is about the passion of home theater. And that's what really came across sitting down with Brett and just chatting about home theater and Kaleidoscape and what it takes to make this product, what it takes to market this product, how they're reaching out to everybody, all of the stuff. It's stuff that we love to think about. Like, what's the next great thing you'd like to do with your system? That's what they like to think about. And we had a great time. It was so much fun. And I can't wait for him to come back, to be honest with you. But all the links are in the show notes. Anything you could want to know about Kaleidoscape, including the nitty and gritty. Todd Anderson did a fantastic write-up on AV Nirvana, and check that out. I'll have that link in there as well, because that gets into the real nitty and gritty of all everything that the system does. This here, Brett and I, we're just having a great time. So let's get to that interview, and I'll talk to you a little bit more afterwards, but let's get to the interview with Brett. Hey, Brett, how are we doing?
Doing great today, DJ. How are you?
I'm doing really good right now. Very excited to be here. This is outside of my norm, but I'm so excited to be here because I've been a fan of Kaleidoscape from afar since the early 2000s.
Absolutely. I mean, we're just celebrating our 20th year this year, DJ. So same thing. When I grew up and started in the AV community, it was, you know, again, it was one of those kind of far off reaching aspirational products. So like I said, having been in here now for the last year, you know, really from my perspective is that passion company that I always wanted to work for. And now I've got that opportunity.
That was one of my questions I ask everybody. So why don't we get right to it? Cause you mentioned it. It's like, what is your home theater background? How did you get started in home theater before we get to all your history with Kaleidoscape? How did you get into home theater?
Yeah, so I've always loved it. You know, like a lot of us, we got started. I got my start actually in car audio. You know, for a lot of us, before we can afford to do something in the home, we do something in our car, right? So, you know, I was always adding subs and putting better speakers in, and you know, at that time when you could actually do head units and you know, dins and double dins and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's really where I got my start, was, you know, kind of customizing my systems and my buddy's systems. And then I remember getting my first job at Good Guys, and it was funny because I was getting ready to update. I wanted my first home theater receiver, right? You know, and I was looking at, again, you know, a couple hundred bucks, you know, nothing crazy. But I was, you know, again, at 21, somewhere right around there, 21, 22. And so I was getting ready to upgrade from my, you know, stereo to my first 5.1. And I'm in Good Guys, which is a West Coast kind of regional, you know, company. And we're talking about receivers, and I've got one of their department managers there, and we're talking about stuff. And he literally offers me a job on the spot. He's like, dude, you know, your stuff, you know, you want to, you know, would you want to work here? And I'm like, hey, that'd be kind of cool.
Oh, man. I had the opposite effect on the people. I made them angry.
There you go.
Because they were like, why do you know more than happen. I do? And it's like, they're trying to upsell the guy I'm with. And they're like, sure. I'm like, no, he doesn't need that. This is his first thing. He doesn't even have that many speakers. He can start here. Oh, no, he needs it. Oh, man, I got stories. But go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, no, but that's exactly it, right? So everybody takes it one way or the other. They're either jazzed because you can talk the talk, you know, or not because, you know, you know more than they do with it. But But yeah, no, you know, I was always into it. And so I got my start working there. I was working on a sales floor, you know, and learned everything I could about audio, learned everything I could about video, you know, and this is back in the days. I always say, you know, I got started on Philips Prontos and Mitsubishi Diamond rear projection TVs. Oh, I mean, that's, wow. You know, throws me back 20 years. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but it was a blast of a time, you know, and it was a time when everybody bought, you know, big two channel systems and speakers and towers and, you know, and so it was fun to catch kind of the tail end of that, you know, cause that was around 2002, but, you know, but like I said, an absolute blast. And then, as I came in, they started, you know, kind of shifting me around and I became a department manager and then I ran stores and they'd kind of bounce me around to kind of fix stores and teach, you know, that sometimes, you know, like anywhere else, you walk into the store and they don't always know exactly what they're saying. And, you know, and so I would go in there and I would, you know, teach the sales guys how to sell. And then I started learning, you know, distributed audio and real custom install and designing systems. And so I had an absolute blast. And then, you know, from there, I actually got recruited to the manufacturing side, did a stint over at Monster Products, you know, to go way back when.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, but like I said, it was a fun time.
You so know, you do know how to sell because that's what Monster's good at.
There you go. Absolutely. But, you know, but like I said, what it was, you know, a passion for, you know, talking technology and talking about product.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, from there, I've worked for Vox Electronics. So, you know, which is the parent brand of doing things like Klipsch and Energy and, you know, and then, worked for Logitech. So I ran custom install for the Harmony side, you know, for a while. So, you know, again, not high end, but a lot of us DIYers, you know,
good thing you got out of that.
Hey, you know, you know, so yeah, it's unfortunate when you start looking at it now, but again, I think that kind of reads the signs as to, you know, where they were trying to go at the time. And then was at Bowers and Wilkins last, you know, and so, you know, like I said, was at Bowers and again, great product, a little bit more on the high end side of things, obviously. And then got recruited in. I got a call from the CEO over at Kaleidoscape and, you know, and they basically just kind of said, you know, hey, we'd like to get you in here. We've seen a lot of the training stuff that you're doing. And while we feel like we have a great product, you know, we need to be able to talk about it more, you know, and kind of get out there and, you know, and kind of build relationships in the consumer groups. And that's a lot of what I've tried to do in the last 20 years. I'm super active in the social forums, you know, and working with dealers. And so, you know, really trying to use, you know, it's a great product and I could see that. And, you know, especially for me, you know, I had the same question as anybody buying a system is like, okay, you know, where does that sit in the relevant side? You know, as streamers come out and things like that.
Right.
Because, I mean, think about it. No, none of us want to work for a company if we're not quite sure. Right. And so, you know, I really dug into it and started looking at the product and what we were doing a lot. I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, on the, you know, the ability to be able to buy directly from the movie store and the studio agreements and really where technology is going, you know, from disk-based use, you know, versus streamers and, you know, how do we kind of run the best of both worlds here? And so, you know, I got super excited about it and, you know, and that brought me in about, like I said, about a year ago. So, you know, like I said, it's been a long process in between. I actually sit on two boards at CDS. So one of our, you know, kind of custom install, you know, organizations there. So, so I sit on two boards there. So, you know, I really try to do what I can to help, not just from the, you know, dealer integration side, but also just kind of the community in general. You know, it's a fun category and fun product when we talk about home theater. You know, I always sit there and say, hey, I build systems and toys for a living. You know, there's nothing better than that. So.
Oh, yeah. It's funny that Kaleidoscape almost feels to me like it's great that they have you. And it sounds like it was that a move from Kaleidoscape to go in that direction of like, we need to get more talk going, like you said, because they kind of, I don't want to say they sell themselves, but they're sold by installers. Because this isn't the product you don't go down to your, most people don't, I guess they are available at Best Buy. I know one of my listeners bought his there, but most people don't just go down and purchase one of these, take it home and put it together themselves. This is usually an install process, correct?
Yeah, typically. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, the product itself is pretty plug and play. You know, the reality is, you know, I need power, I need HDMI. You know, typically an Ethernet cable, and that's really about it. So, right. You know, it is to a point where I'm seeing more and more people, especially in a lot of these communities that are more DIY, you know, mm-hmm. and aren't bringing in installers, but still want to be able to, you know, enjoy the benefits of Kaleidoscape. So I think we're seeing a little bit of a shift where those people, now we still send them to, you know, to a dealer in case there's questions or anything like that. You know, but a lot of our clients are tying them into, you know, Control 4 systems or, you know, Crestron systems or Elan systems or Savant systems. And so at that point, you know, a lot of times you do need a dealer or, right. You know, even just setting up, you know, with our products and the ability to be able to tie into lighting control or into an electric screen mask. So, you know, when you start getting into more complicated things like that, often that's where, you know, people prefer to have a dealer, you know, and like you said, you can pick them up, you know, on the Best Buy side, but usually in the Magnolia side of that, right? So it's still not, it's not like it's sitting on a shelf, you know, right next to the right next to the streamer, but it is there available depending on how much help people, you know, need with it at the end of the day.
Right. And that's what I was like leaning towards. It seems to me like lately Kaleidoscape is, they're getting more and more mainstream. Their pricing, believe it or not, people are thinking that it's still like crazy money, but it's come way, way down since the early days.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
The early days were, wasn't it like $35,000?
Yep.
To start?
Yep. Usually
it was like in the early 2000s.
Right? Yep.
And
yep.
I was like, I loved reading about it and I loved seeing it and getting the demonstrations, but it was like, I also love Ferraris. But I mean, I just, oops. That wasn't even a someday thing. It was like, okay, they exist.
Well, and I think that's the way it started for a lot of us, right? It's been that aspirational product. And, you know, in the beginning of Kaleidoscape, so if we go back, you know, again, almost 20 years, you know, we started out with aggregating discs. You know, I mean, for people like me and you, and, you know, I mean, I've got 700 discs, you know, that I've collected over the last, you know, 15 plus years. You know, and that was really the big thing. And like you said, it was a much more expensive. I think we all forget how price moves relatively, you know, over the last period of time. And so, yeah, you know, is it still expensive? Sure. It's not an inexpensive product. You know, but now we start at around a $6,000 price range versus, like you said, you know, $35,000 that people were spending before. You know, and so I think that makes it more realistic, you know, for a lot of people to get into. And then, like you said, you know, I think it was a very specific, you know, strategy and thought process where, you know, the executive team and the rest as they brought in. So we've got a new CEO, Talo, you know, who's been great. He was a Kaleidoscape user, you know, for many years.
Oh, wow.
Came into the board. And so he's always loved the product. And I think you see that with a lot of the things that go on. You know, I know one of the first things that he did when he came in November of last year was say, you know, we've got a program called Disc to Digital. And so that helps people to take their discs, and be able to convert them over to, you know, usually up convert, you know, from a DVD quality to HD or 4K, at a discounted price. And so it helps to ease a little bit of that burden of that, you know, purchase.
That's huge.
But that was one of the first things that he did was say, we need to make this more affordable for people. How can we lower the pricing and had our content team start working with the studios to kind of get them to agree? Because obviously the studios control a lot of the pricing and things like this and movies, you know, but to get them to agree where, hey, if the guy has a disc, you know, be it DVD quality or HD quality, you know, to be able to move that over at a price that's more affordable for people. And we've gotten a ton of positive feedback on that, you know, when we look at user groups and everything else, you know, and then, you know, like I said, same thing, it's creating new innovation, new products, which, you know, again, we could chat about, but, you know, new products that we just released at Cedia, you know, it's the first time we've had a new product since 2018.
Really?
You know, So, you know, again, it's always been great. So you don't need to change it around that much.
Exactly.
We still, you know, we still support products. Even the first products from back in 2003. So, I mean, we've got clients all the time that, you know, have those products, love those products, and we still support them and probably always will. That's pretty rare for a technology company and a hardware company.
Well, they paid a lot of money back in 2003.
and no debate, right? So, again,
They're your foundation, really.
Well, and they really are. But you know, so often we don't always see that respected, right? You know, in general. And for certain products, you know, they do need to sunset at some point. You know, I sometimes have the opposite argument where, you know, somebody's, you know, complaining because the product, you know, went out after 5, 6, 8 years. And it's like, well, you know, it's technology, chipsets change, this and that.
Right.
So it really is nice when you see a product that, like I said, wasn't inexpensive. People committed to it. There are founding people. You know, why wouldn't we want to continue to support them? And even now, every new product we make. So like if we look at some of those older Premiere products, they could only do up to HD, like Blu-ray quality.
Yeah.
Well, our new products that do 4K and have rental capability and all these other things, we have ways to be able to tie those systems together. So you don't have to sacrifice your old one. You can still wow. use that, but now you can add new functionality to it. And oh, so nice. I think that's always been kind of a, again, as I look at it, the perfect blend where you're never alienating your past clientele. You're giving them an opportunity to be able to upgrade into the future. You know, you want a new projector. Guess what? You got to buy a new projector, right?
Yeah.
The old one gets scrapped. You know, it's so nice when you can kind of sit there and, you know, and grow the system. Thinking about it like, you know, I always talk about, you know, pre-pros and amps, right?
Yeah.
Once you separate those systems, the beauty is that amplifier can last you forever, or 10, 15, 20 years, depending on what you want to buy, right? But you know those pre-pros, that technology side has to be updated. But it's so much nicer when you don't have to upgrade everything. You know,
right.
You can kind of pick and choose how you want to do it. And I think that's a lot of what Kaleidoscape has really tried to do, and especially with some of our newer products.
Yeah. Before we get to the newer products and the stuff, I personally want to hear a little bit of the history of how you guys, Kaleidoscape, got through the legal issues. Because Kaleidoscape at one point went like, everybody was like, are they going to exist? Because of everything that was going on with the movies. And a lot of people, when I mentioned Kaleidoscape, they're like, is that legal? Is that? I'm like, oh yeah, they went through a whole bunch of stuff. I'm like,
oh,
they're the one legit that everybody, that is now 100%. That's what you can point to. Like, no, that's 100% legal. That's the way it is. Because a lot of this downloading, owning, blah, blah, blah. So what exactly did they go through? Because I know, I'm sure it cost them a lot of money to get through those legal battles, but what did they go through?
Sure. You know, and some of that comes before my time, but, you know, I'm happy to kind of give you a brief overview in there. So, you know, when we started, again, if we go all the way back to, you know, founding 20 years ago in 2003, coming out with the first product, you know, obviously at that point it was about ripping content, right? You know, you put
right.
the disc in, it rips it to a hard drive and you were good to go. You had a digital copy basically. You know, and when it was DVDs, it didn't really matter too much. You know, as Blu-rays started coming out and the quality level increased, you know, I think the studio started looking at it going, well, what happens if, you know, and now we've
right.
got these, you know, great quality products that can sit there and rip a full quality. And is that going to be pirated and all the rest, which was never, you know, our system was always closed. So it was only going on to the client system. They
right.
bought the disc. So it really was never a problem, but it obviously, you know, opened the eyes on the Blu-ray side. And so, you know, from my perspective, what I love about it, and again, speaks to the industry as a whole, and I think people don't always realize it, is, you know, Kaleidoscape was fighting for those consumer rights. You know,
yeah.
we were fighting for the right of, you know, being able to
yeah.
to copy digitally your content, right?
Which yep.
is a very gray area, like you mentioned, you know, as we look at a lot of things now,
right.
You know, is it a copy? Does it count? Does it, you know, if somebody
exactly.
copies it and then sells it, which we see, you know, what does that mean?
That's not even gray, I don't think.
No, that's not gray
that's
whatsoever.
That's not gray. You know.
But yet we see it all the time, right? You
right.
know, or torrenting and the rest. And so, you know, as we look at how we ended that, you know, with Blu-ray organization and the studios in general, you know, it came out to, well, okay, look, you know, clients want a legal quality way of being able to store their movies digitally. You know, they don't want to have all these, you know, cases. Obviously, there's plenty of people that are steelbook collectors and,
yeah.
and the rest that love to
yep.
show off their system. And that's a different piece of it, right? But for a lot of people, it comes into, I just want to store my movies, you know, and
right.
I love the Kaleidoscape interface because everything's all in one place. And that's really what they wanted. And so the way that we figured that out was basically saying, well, okay, look, we'll build relationships directly with the studios. We have more than 50 studio relationships right now. You know, I always say most of us can name like 5.
Yeah.
You know, but
there are 50.
And I say it the same way. But you know, there's always those little niche, you know,
yeah.
studios and this and that. Right. You know, and so our content team has done a great job of building those relationships, bringing them in, you know, to a point where we've got more than 12,000 titles you know, in there of movies and TV shows and concerts. And the idea was, hey, look, if we get this directly from the studios are, you know, they get their sale on it. They know exactly what's being sold. You know, we put together good encryption packages and algorithms that, you know, protect the content to make sure that, you know, the studios are as safe as you can be nowadays. You know, and that kind of made everybody happy, you know, and frankly, it ushered in, what at that time was probably a difficult time of trying to very quickly pivot and shift. Mm-hmm. You know, but now is really the smart and right decision, because it puts us into that category of not having to worry about discs, right?
Yeah.
You know, now we're that high quality, you know, but it's as easy as a streamer. You know, I want to select a movie, I press it, and, you know, 12 minutes later, I'm watching the movie.
Right.
You know, but in a downloaded full quality. And so I think, you know, ultimately it ended up being a great deal. Only because, like I said, that kind of forced us to pivot and figure out how to work with the studios, how to build that, you know, digitally, and then, you know, removed any of those issues, you know, from an optical disc side and all the rest, you know, and still offered a way, like I said, working with the studios to do things like disc to digital and other value adds for, you know, our owner community, you know, that you don't frankly, you know, get with discs.
Yeah. And that's, my thing, my listeners know, I've been saying this, I say it on Twitter every time it comes up, like, people say physical media is the best quality. And I've said that for years and years and years. I always wanted the best quality, going back to Laserdisc. You know, sure. I knew VHS, Laserdisc, I had to have Laserdisc. VHS wasn't as good. But even before that, I wanted the hi-fi VCR so that I could get the best out of my tapes, right? And then
that's
you get
right.
to Laserdisc, and you're constantly upgrading. A lot of people still believe that the physical is the best, and that's not the case anymore, because you guys actually are putting out higher bit rates. You have larger files of these movies, and that's why I keep saying, like, this is the future of home theater. And it, whether it's, you know, it's the downloading, not streaming. Because you can't stream a, you know, 150 gigabyte movie, right? But you can download it. And it's like, and I've been talking about it for as long as I've had this podcast, that I think that's the way we're headed. And you guys are, again, because you've been doing it since the early 2000s, 2003, whatever. You're the pioneers for this.
Yeah,
and go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, no, I think that's exactly right, you know, where, you know, I grew up in the same vein, right? You know, we all collected discs, you know, even coming when I was working on the retail side. You do a demo. What do? You stick the disc in the drive. You wait for the FBI warnings to spin up. You know, you wait for whatever little previews they put out in the front. You get to the menu. Then you jump to the, you know, to the right chapter. Then you're fast forwarding and rewinding to get to the right demo scene, right?
Yeah.
And you want to show off the stuff. You know, and I mean, all the way back from 2003, we bypassed all of that, you know, I mean, that was part of the experience, you know, and even still now, you know, that's part of the experience. And so, you know, I think that, you know, when people talk generically in the forums, sure. Is disc better than streaming? Absolutely. You know, it's the only way to get, you know, I can get lossless audio. I can get things like that. You know, it's better quality, because we know that, you know, the bit rates are so low on a streamer, even if it says 4K and it says Atmos, it's lossy Atmos, usually Dolby Digital Plus. And on the, you know, 4K side, it's compressed to fit into a 12 megabit stream with 4K.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, like you said, like, we're running 100 to 125, 130 megabits per second. You could never even do that. Even, like, you know, where I am, I've got gig up and down.
Yeah.
The reality is, you know, when my wife and my daughter, you know, are watching something and they're doing something else, you know, it's hard to say that you're actually going to be able to reliably, you know, have more than 100 megabits at any given moment consistently.
Right.
Without having to, you know, to worry about, you know, getting the spinning wheels of death and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think that's really the thing where, if you look at it specifically, you know, I mean, Kaleidoscape, you know, we don't put a cap on our movie size, you know, so, you know, I'll have these conversations a lot where, you know, you got Star Wars behind you, you know, it's like every Star Wars movie, you know, when you look at, you know, Star Trek, every, you know, Mission Impossible After 3, all these movies are put on 66 gig discs, you know, and we see this more and more, you know, way back when you, you know, when DVD was king, You know, it was a one layer disc. You know, they'd scratch, right. They'd still play. You know, now it's like you breathe on them wrong. And, you know, and I'm watching in the forum saying, my disc keeps freezing up at this point. Well, it's because you've got three layers or two layers, you know, depending on the disc, and those lasers have to be able to read through them. They're so much more finicky about that kind of stuff. You know, and so, you know, you get a 66 gig movie, you know, and we use Endgame a lot because it's a huge example, you know, where it's like, well, it's a 66 gig disc on 4K Blu-ray. Our file size is about 105 gigs. So you're talking about, you know, 35% more compression, you know, and for groups and lovers that are like, well, no, disc is better than streaming because of compression. Then how do you not agree that this still makes it better? Right.
Right.
You know, and then even for a lot of other movies, you know, we'll see them at 75 gigs, it's 80 gigs, it's 90 gigs, you know, because we just don't put a file size limit on it. Or, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, which is double disc, right? You know, it's like you mentioned Laserdisc, right? You know, getting up and flipping it.
Oh, well, the Snyder Cut is like that. You add, there's two discs for the Snyder. It's 4 hours long, but there's
exactly right.
With downloading, do you guys have the Snyder Cut yet?
So Kaleidoscape? Not in the U.S. Okay. I believe that's coming out to it, but we did have it because HBO, you know, isn't in the U.K. So they were actually able to get it at the same time it was being released on HBO. So we do have it. We're just, you
know, it's one download, right?
It's one download. No matter what it is, it's always one download. And so, you know, like I said, it's always been a great way to look at that. And then, like you mentioned, bit rates, you know, again, bit rate, you know, everything isn't a one for one. Like I can't say it looks this X better or in any particular scene. Right. But yeah, you know, like you said, you know, an average 4K Blu-ray player, you know, averages about 50 megabits per second, you know, in their speed, far more than what you get in a streamer. Well, we average 65, you know, it's just a little bit less compression in there, you know, and while normal video is about 100 megabits per second on the peak side, our peak bit rate is 120.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to make sure that no matter what we're doing, the idea is we're as good or better. You know, and because we want to provide that extra value add, you know, for the clients. And so, you know, like you said, you know, people often obviously compare disc, and disc is great in comparison. You know, but when you really get down to the nitty gritty, because we have that master file that we're getting directly from the studios,
that was my next
and we
question.
Try to compress.
Where do you get these?
directly from the studios, you know, and so, you know, that's what's great about it. You know, we sit there and our content team works with the studios and we get that master file. So that much larger file, you know, and then, you know, we put it in like anything else. You need a container, an algorithm that, you know, that, you know, allows us to get it from, you know, from our servers to your house. You know, and so we don't have to compress it as much because again, we're just looking at file size. You know, the worst it does is it just takes up a little bit more storage on my, you know, on my system. No big deal.
Right.
So yeah. So, you know, like I said, I think it's a great method from that perspective. And as you said, you know, as big of a fan as I've been with more than 700 discs in my collection, you know, I'm not, especially now, obviously, but, you know, but I'm not buying discs. You're not seeing them as much. You know, you can't get older titles, you know, and I say this a lot, you know, for a lot of us that have been watching movies and loving it for years, you know, obviously a new movie comes out, probably coming out in 4K, you know, on disc, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's pretty much a given. Although I always find it hilarious and it blows my mind when you see the DVD sales. You know, and they'll show up in the forums, and it's like more than half of DVD sales or disc sales are DVDs.
Oh yeah, DVD and I'm like, outsells really? Everything.
It's and it's like who's buying them?
Well,
you know, but
yeah, it's for their kid. I think it's for their kids. Yeah. But when I first started my home theater Twitter feed, I got into those discussions, and now I'm like, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah,
it's like, but it is amazing that it's like 80, you know. 75-25 going
from about right,
DVD to Blu-ray to 4K, and then you'd have Kaleidoscape after that. But that's but that's not bad. That's your market, and it's like the people that care that much. That's how much it goes down. And I honestly don't know where these DVD sales come from.
No, and I agree. But you know, I think when we have a passion for something, we assume everybody else is using the same thing. Right.
Right.
Whereas the reality is there are still a ton of people that don't have a 4K TV, you know, even though you can get them at, you know, $500 at your Costco or, you know, You know, so prices have come down, but for a lot of people, they don't know, or it's a smaller screen, right? You know, we get so many of us, it's like, well, yeah, when you're looking at it on a 100-inch, 150-inch TV, or, you know, or an 83-inch, you know, OLED, you know, you want that extra quality to be able, because you can see it in that larger size. Well, if you're still watching on a 42-inch, you know, what's the difference? You know, but yeah, so, you know, obviously, like I said, we're not catering into that, you know, clientele. But I do think that we're seeing more and more, and as you mentioned, we were talking about, you know, more of those DIYers and things like that. It's, you know, it used to always be when we looked at it, you know, oh yeah, the $250,000 theater, the CE Pro award winner, or the Residential Systems award winner, chances are it had a Kaleidoscape, you know, user interface right on the front of that screen, right?
Right.
And so you always see that, and still now. But I think we're seeing a lot more performance-based people that are buying a, you know, $20,000, $30,000 system. You know, again, still a good amount of money for any of us, you know, but not the $100,000, $200,000 plus system. And they're still seeing that in order to get the best performance out of it, I need lossless audio.
Right.
You know, I always sit there and say, you know, coming from Bowers, you know, you're not going to take a pair of, you know, 800 D4s, you know, or 801 D4s now, I guess, is the 800 D3s. You're not going to take those and play free Pandora on them. You know, we've all learned that, like,
well,
somebody's done it, I guarantee
you. Oh, but, of course.
But you're never going to get the performance out of them, right? It's like, why would I spend $30,000 on a pair of speakers to then have frequencies cut and, you know, and or attenuated and it just not sound the same? I know I need to listen to lossless audio in my two-channel system, and people get that, but then they play Apple TV, which is lossy, in their theater system, which costs even more than their two-channel system, you know? And so I think that's where, you know, as I come into a lot of this is, you know, not pushing, you know, you got to buy Kaleidoscape, you know, nothing else is good.
Right.
Everything is great. If you're enjoying your theaters, I mean, that's the main piece of this. Enjoy your movies and enjoy your concerts and everything else. But I think it is about talking about, no, if you want the best performance out of it, if you want to make sure that you're getting every last bit out of those speakers or those amplifiers or that projector or that panel, you need lossless content. You need visually lossless, you know, video. You need, you know, lossless audio. It's, you know, it's one of those things that it really is performance, not luxury. We just also have the ability to have, you know, an award-winning, you know, user interface that people love and everything like that. So it kind of, you know, straddles the difference between both.
Right. And that's the thing for me. It's like, obviously the interface is what grabbed me so many years ago. And you just, because I like, that's what this podcast is about. I talk about movies every week and it's like, I love to jump around. And I told you the other day, I have a Zapiti and I had to build the thing myself. I couldn't even afford the Zapiti hard drive that they have. I had to do it myself, and the pain and agony I went through trying to do that. But it's, once you do that, it's like, it's still not as user-friendly as what you guys have. And it's like, I know people that have both, and the Zapiti and a Kaleidoscape, and we've had conversations and they're like, oh yeah, it's the user, and it's, you're getting what you pay for with the Kaleidoscape for sure. But talking to you, I told my son I'm coming on here, and I'm like, oh, you are coming on, and he goes, I go, I just hope I can get out of this thing without being in debt. And he goes, Dad, and he saw what I went through with the Zapiti, and he goes, what would you have, how much better would it have to be for you to do it? And I said, here's the thing. And this is me, and I think a lot of people that end up with a Kaleidoscape and or get this deep into home theater is, for me, just knowing that's what I'm getting. A little bit better. I've done it before. I went from Laserdisc to DVD, and I had to replace all my movies, right? And just the knowledge of this. And then it's like, hey, when I upgrade my projector, I know that when I turn on that Kaleidoscape, I'm getting the best possible out of that. I'm trying to improve all the links in my system the best link. And I think that's where your customer base is coming from. And the fact your price is coming down like this, you're getting closer to people. It's so much more attainable now that you can actually, it's right there.
I think that's right. And, you know, and again, I listen to a lot of people and they're like, hey, why can't you make it $100? Everybody would buy it. And I'm like,
That's not for everybody.
Not everybody's still going to understand it, right?
Right.
And so it's not just slide the price down and demand increases. It still is a passion group. It still is, you know, people that mm-hmm. enjoy it and love it and want to be able to use it. And I think, you know, similar to what you said, it's, you know, I know a lot of people that have, you know, they built a Plex system or they built a Zapiti system, and, you know, they still end up that end cap, you know, that end game piece to it is going to be a Kaleidoscape system.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, that's one of the things that we've done, and some of the things that I like, somebody else said it the other day, you know, buy once, cry once, you know, and then you're in, right. You know? And so, but we've done so many things that once people are in, and I use this again for myself the other day, you know, Lord of the Rings came out, right. This last year in 4K, or Indiana Jones is another example for, you know, even more recent. If you had be it a DVD or a Blu-ray version of Indiana Jones, and it was already in your system, those movies to get to 4K HDR, $10. So, that's nice. You know, and you know, rather than if you're buying the disc, like you said, you got to buy it again, right? You know, how many times have we bought Star Wars and Indy and, you know, and all these movies?
Yeah.
Because I needed it on Laserdisc, and I had it on VHS, and then I had it on DVD, and then Blu-ray, and then 4K, and then, you know.
I just bought the new Terminator 30th Anniversary 4K Collector's Edition. I already have it in 4K. And I even, when I bought that, I bought it in 4K. Then they came out with the 4K that gave you the arm. So I bought that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I'm getting the head. I'm like,
and I would probably
continue to do that when I have a Kaleidoscape. I'll be like, there's a Terminator arm, now the whole body.
That's right. I'm building one myself at home.
Right. It's like, okay, let me see. Kaleidoscape has it in 8K. I get another arm for another 4K disc. Send them all.
That's right. And I think, you know, for some of it, that is. It's passion, right? It's again, how do I get this collector's edition or a steelbook or this or that? I still know plenty of Kaleidoscape owners that are still buying discs because they have certain ones that they want to collect. And I can appreciate that. You know, again, it's never a either or, it's an and. You know, you can buy whatever you want. That's your hard-earned money. You know, but when it comes to simple, you know, there's something about being able to say like, oh, you know, and I did this a few weeks ago. So, you know, we've had Black Widow for, I don't know, probably the better part of 3 weeks or a month now. You know, only way to be able to watch it in full lossless, right? You know, you could watch it in HBO, you could do this or on Disney
Plus,
but it was still going to be lost, but it was still going to be lossy. It comes out, I know, pretty quick coming out now, you know, on disc, but we've already had it, you know, and we're getting those releases faster and faster. Oftentimes at the time of release, you know,
Do you take a credit card?
That's right. And so, you know, but that's what I always love because that's always the premise of most of us is I love going to the theater. We all grew up. I mean, that's often how we got into this, right? You know, is seeing that big screen. I remember, you know, as I grew up, even in my 20s, like, you know, I would sit there with my wife and it would be, you know, and she was my girlfriend at the time. It's like, no, if we're going to go to the movies, we had our Century 21 theater, which was like the humongous theater. I'm like, this is where we go to watch the big blockbusters.
Yeah.
You know, because so many of the theaters now, like, you know, hold 50 people and, you know, and they're super small. You know, and so, but for so many of us, especially now, I think this just kind of sped it up. We don't necessarily want to go into the theaters. I'd much rather kick back in my house, you know, pause it when I want to, go do this and that, have the friends over, have the family over. And if I can watch those movies in full lossless at home, you know, and without having to wait 4, 5, 6 months, why wouldn't I want to do that? You know, and especially, like I said, if, you know, price is round about the same or, you know, or like I said, we've done in just the last 60 days, we've had 2 Marvel sales, both times, any Marvel movie, $10. So we're getting into these points where, you know, yes, it's a little bit more expensive to get into it. No debate. But once you're in, again, we're trying to create value for that ownership, you know, community. Where it's like, hey, pretty much every week, you know, we have sales, and it's the tough ones that don't always go on sale in the movie, you know, like for physical disc, like Marvel, Disney, you know, we had Disney sales going on a few weeks ago. We've got a Pixar sale going on right now for 2 weeks. You know, we're putting in a lot of these movies at $10, where it's like, you know, you normally, you know, it might be a $20, $25 movie, or they're hard to find. You know, I was having this discussion with somebody the other day. We were talking about Gravity, right? So, you know, the Gravity Diamond Lux Edition.
Yeah, I have that.
You know, which is, you know, Blu-ray, but Atmos, you know, it'll go for $100 because you can't find them.
Right. Yeah, I got know? It when it came out, so I have it. I'm lucky enough to have it. But, yeah, most people, I tell people about it, and they're like, oh, I can't get it because, like,
yeah, you know, and again, yeah, $100 for the movie. And I'm sitting there going, well, we've got an infinite supply of it. Like you want to buy it, it's digital, it downloads, that's it, you know?
Right.
And I think that's the thing of, you know, people look at it and they, you know, they sometimes look at that initial price and that's kind of the hesitancy in there. You know, but they're not thinking about how much time do I spend on this, or, you know, I'll chat with, you know, the Plex users. And like I said, I'm always whatever's letting you enjoy your theater is, you know, is great, but I'm going, you know, some of it's about time. Right. You know, it's I'm spending something. Do I want to spend dollars or time? You know, and if I'm 23 and single, sure, why not? You know, I can sit there and rip discs and do whatever. And, you know, but I know. But, you know, but we get to a point for a lot of us where it's like, no, you know, I want to sit. If I happen to have free time, you know, I'll do 60, 70, 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
If I have some free time, I want to watch a movie. I don't want to have to think about it. I want to sit there. And the fact that I can take a movie like, you know, like Black Widow, or, you know, again, you know, Nobody, or, you know, Wrath of Man, or, you know, all these movies that we had before you could get them on disc. And the fact that I can, like, hit a button and, you know, 10, 12 minutes later, I'm watching it is phenomenal to me. Because, again, and it's just so much different than, you know, when I compare it, because I've got all the streamers out there and all this and that as well. You know, when I compare it to, you know, something that I'm streaming or this or that, there's just a night and day difference between the two, you know, and yet I get the benefit of not having, you know, all my wall space in multiple rooms taken over by, you know, by hundreds and hundreds of discs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so let's get to some of those new products. I heard about a few of them. Well, why don't you just go at it, and then I'll see what I, because I know there's one that I'm really interested in, but go ahead.
Okay, sure, absolutely. So, you know, at Cedia, which again was a few weeks ago, so we were out there, we were actually, you know, got back a little bit, so it was an interesting year for the show.
Yeah, I heard that they started out at like 250 people, 250 vendors or whatever.
Yeah, vendors.
It ended up at like 100.
Yeah, 100, 100 and a quarter, somewhere right around in there, right? And
at least you got the 100.
At least we got the 100. And so, you know, it was a good show, you know, and consumer-wise, you know, like I said, it fell down as well. Usually we have about 20 to 25,000 people that attend. So it's, you know, again, it's a it's a fairly good-sized show. You know, and so attendance was down, but what I loved with it was we got a lot of people that were out there that had questions, right? And usually this is more dealers and consumers, but, you know, but they had time. You know, vendors weren't overloaded with people. You didn't have 50 people in the booth at once where you can't talk to them. So I think it actually, for a lot of the people that went there, they got a lot out of it because everything had a slightly slower pace to it. You know, but again, you know, it was a great show for us. I was, you know, happy that I got to see a lot of my friends and, you know, and dealers and other manufacturers that, you know, often I only get to see at shows like this. But yeah, you know, so at the show we announced, you know, two new products. You know, so we announced our 72 terabyte, so, you know, Terra system. And so that kind of rounds out the high end, right? You know,
you
and
think? So,
yeah, you know, for those who need more, but I've got, you know, for myself, I've got about 825, 830 movies on my Kaleidoscape system. And so I have blown through my 40 terabytes in all reality. Right. Now, what's great with Kaleidoscape is that even if you've run out of storage, and this is kind of a difference between this and like your Zapiti, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, in my case, like I said, let's say, you know, a 40 terabyte will hold about 700 movies in it. I'm at 8.25. It will continue to let me buy movies. I can delete movies off my hard drive and download the new movies on. So, you know, let's say I'm fully capped out, but I want to watch a new brand new movie release. You know, I can delete 5 movies off, you know, put on 2 or 3 more movies. But all those movies still exist in my account. So then later on, I can sit there and delete other movies and add those other movies back in. And so, you know, even if now at the same time, there's a benefit to having every movie in one thing and being able to hit the button and play it, right? Not having to re-download it. But it's nice to be able to know that if I need some extra space, you don't have to buy another hard drive that day. you can get away with, you know, using the same size drive, and people will just, you know, delete content, re-add content, and just kind of manage their content a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, but for those that don't want to, or, you know, guys like me, it's like, well, look, I'm going to need more storage. Now, the beauty of Kaleidoscape as well is that I can add more storage. I could add another 24 terabyte or another 48 terabyte or a 72 terabyte, you know, which will hold 1,200 4K movies. So, you know, again, that's also future.
It sounds ridiculous today, but it's future proofing for if we come out with 8K releases. Well, and if anybody's going to get them first, it's going to be you guys.
Yes. Well, and it's like, where do you put them, right? When we talk with people all the time, you know. Yeah, how many layers? Is it a disk? Is it a hard, you know, is it a thumb drive? Is it, you know, there's all these speculations that come out.
Right.
If it ever even comes out in 8K in real content from a physical media standpoint. But from our perspective, yeah, that same Tera that I have, 72, 48, you know, 24, it doesn't care what you're putting onto it. Right. So we're going to come out with a compression algorithm and, you know, put our stuff in there and it's going to work. But yeah, that 8K content is going to take up a lot more space than even a 4K does. So, you know, again, it could be, you know, if again, same thing, if I look at an HD, so Blu-ray quality, you know, maybe that's a 40 gig, you know, movie versus 100 gig in the 4K. And then, yeah, is it 200 gigs in 8K? You know, so as we get to that point, having additional storage, like you said, is the future-proof side of it. And so, you know, there are people, I mean, even with 72, I always sit there too going, who's going to buy that? The reality is, as we talked about it with a few of our dealers, you know, the last thing you want with a client is like, I bought the 48 and 2 weeks later, the 72 comes out. Right.
Right.
You know, and they're saying, why didn't you tell me? So, you know, and a few of the people that we told, we had actually already pre-sold, you know, somewhere around 8 or 10 of them before we even launched it. So, you know, they're already moving, you know, as much as we always think there's always somebody always willing to, you know, that needs more storage, that's willing to buy it. So, that rounds out our higher end system, and, you know, and that's a $25,000 piece. So it's not an inexpensive piece, but that's just the hard drive, right? The hard drive
for the 72.
And then you add a Strato C, which is your playback unit, and that goes for $3,000. So, you know, all in, you'd be about in a system like that, you'd be in about $28,000. But you'd be able to hold 12,000, you know, movies, or excuse me, 1,200 movies. So, you know, so like I said, it's a ton of storage in there. So that's a great product, but the even more exciting product from my perspective is what we call our new Compact Tera line. So our Compact Tera 12. And so, you know, our normal Teras, like I said, the 24, the 48, and now the 72, those have four drives in them. And so one of the benefits versus our Strato S, which is kind of our base unit, is that you can download movies four times faster. So, you know, in a Strato S 6 or 12 terabyte, it takes about, for a 4K movie, it takes about 35 to 45 minutes to download. Pretty fast. Most people have kind of learned, like, hey, I'm going to watch a movie tonight or this weekend. They're, you know, they can buy it from their browser. They can buy it from their phone.
Really?
Or from the on-screen display. Yeah. So you've got a ton of options.
You can buy it mobily while you're at, like, work. Oh, you can just grab
I have seen people, and I don't recommend it. I had somebody that literally rented a movie while they were at a stoplight. So that it was ready by the time they got home.
I've seen it too in my driver's mirror.
Exactly right. I'm like, I do not recommend that.
No.
I'm like, that's a great story. I will talk about that, but please don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but I do it all the time when I'm chatting with somebody, you know, often dealer or a consumer in the forums, and we'll be talking about a new demo movie or this or that. And I'll just pull it up on my browser and I'll place a purchase, you know, right while I'm on the phone with them. And so while it's about 35 to 45 minutes on a Strato S, on a Tera system is four times faster because we've broken out the processor. I look at this kind of, like I said, versus the AVR versus the pre-pro and the amp. By breaking it out, I can get better performance out of that pre-pro.
Right.
And so four times faster means I could download that same 4K movie in about 10 minutes. And so exactly. So for me, it's like, you know, I buy a movie and often I'm still on the phone with the guy and I'm like, okay, it's downloaded. Let me go walk into the other room and we'll actually walk through this together. You know, and so I think that's great. The thing was before is that the Tera 24 was the first product that you could do that with. And so that was a $12,000 product plus a Strato C. So you were kind of 15 grand in to get that extra speed.
Yeah.
Now with the 12 terabyte, you know, for people that don't need as much storage or just kind of jumping in, it's a single drive versus the four drives. but it still has that 4 times faster processor.
Oh, it does.
So, yeah. Okay. So, you know, now you're sitting at a price point of, let's say, $8,000. And that allows you to be able to get that 4 times faster speed. So that's always been one of those features that consumers love, but then sometimes they sit there budget wise, right? They're just like, right. Well, you know, 15 versus, you know, 6 or 9. But now if I can actually get it to where it's like 11, you know, I'm saving, you know, it's again, an extra $4,000. That's a lot of movies I could buy. You know, and it gets them into the ecosystem. And, you know, again, I can always add additional hard drives later on. So, you know, if I fill up my 12 terabytes and I decide I want another one, again, I could, you know, put on another 12 terabytes and then I don't need another player and it's just adding, you know, size. Or for a lot of people, they start with, you know, with the theater, right? You know, that's classically right. The first room to put the system in. But then if you've been collecting your movies, you know, there's times where it's like, well, somebody else is in there or the kids are in there, this or that. Why wouldn't I want to be able to finish a movie in my bedroom? You know, or the kids have a playroom. Why shouldn't they be able to watch the Disney movies in there? Because I want to watch a better movie, you know, in right. the theater. So the beauty of this compact Terra system or normal Terra systems is that you can add. So a compact Terra can actually simultaneously serve out up to 5 4K movies at once. So you can actually have 5 different movies going, you know, all playing back from that, you know, same compact Terra system. So, you know, and on a full-size Terra, because it's got the 4 drives, you can actually do up to 10 movies at the same time. So, you know, again, I don't have 10 rooms to be able to do that in myself. Say,
I need one in my bathroom.
That's right. You know, but more power to the people that do, right?
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
You know, the idea is looking at, you know, what can we do? And that becomes our pinnacle products, like our mm-hmm. Terras. But then this is the first time that we've kind of had that in-between product. There was such a big gap between the Strato right. S, you know, and the Terra. Now with the compact Terra, you know, we kind of sit right in that middle spot where it's like, yeah, it's about 20% more than a Strato S to be able to get 4 times faster download speeds and the extra zones if you want. And, you know, and all those kinds of capability that you just couldn't get from a Strato S because it's all in one unit trying to keep it small. There's right. just only so much we could do from a hardware perspective.
So what happens when you go from, like, you start out with a Strato S, the mm-hmm. entry level, right? And then you want to upgrade to the, you know, later on down the road to the Terra. Now you do get that speed. Is that a yes. different? So you're getting a different system though. I'm trying to wrap my head around just adding hard drives and
sure.
You'd just actually be adding a new system, isn't it?
So everything is just on the same network. So as long as you're right. on the same local network, it doesn't really care. So, you know, at this point, because we're transmitting such a large amount of data, you know, you want to mm-hmm. connect it over Ethernet. But basically, if you started out with the Strato S 6 terabytes, that'll hold, you know, more or less about 100 4K movies. You know, most of us have some, you know, HD right. quality. So again, that number will go up a little bit. But yeah, if I want more, I could buy a compact Terra that gives me another 12 terabytes of storage. So add that to my 6. You know, now I've got 18, and any new movies are going to jump directly over to that Terra system. So basically, we combine them. It takes like 30 seconds, you know, to combine them on the network. Super simple. And now when, you know, whenever I buy a new movie, it's going to download to that, you know, to that compact Terra system,
okay.
You know, and it, but it's all the same. And when you're looking at it on your on-screen display, it's combining all of them. You could have 5 right. Terras and all those movies are going to show up on your on-screen display in one place. And then the system knows, you know, oh, you right. want to watch this movie. Well, this is on this drive and you want to watch right. this movie. That's on that drive. But from a consumer standpoint, you never have to think about it. You know, right. it's just, I need more storage. I add more storage. If I want another playback zone, you know, then I just add another Strato C and I could put that in my rack if I've got a bigger, you know, a video distribution system, or I can put it local in the room. And again, as long as I've got an Ethernet connection to that thing, I can put it anywhere in my house and I have the ability to watch that content in any room.
Oh, cool. Okay. So now this, the player, how mm-hmm. do you get the, like you were saying before, if you have discs, how do you get the discs onto this system?
Sure. So
you can get that upgrade.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's a few tools out there. So initially it was designed for our, you know, our Premier system. So our older clientels, you know, that had those disc-based systems and mm-hmm. those 320 disc vaults and all that kind of stuff to be able to move their content digitally. You know, but even, you know, what I always say is, you know, we have some of these older players, you'll see them talked about in the forums with like an Alto, which is again, one of our older players that still has an optical drive in it. And so, you know, what I always say is if somebody is thinking about buying a Kaleidoscape, but has a large disc collection, that's obviously something that we all think about.
Yeah.
Reach out to your, you know, when you're talking with your dealer, this is the benefit of having a dealer, is that they're there to kind of answer the questions and help as well. But they can generally, you know, find a way to help you out with, you know, a loan or Alto or some way to be able to borrow that so you can catalog your discs. And then that allows you to do the digital program. And then at the same time, like I said, any movies that you buy that, you know, come out later on. So, you know, again, what was I saying? So like Shawshank, right? You know, so again, HD, that's another one of those movies that, you know, I've bought in every format that comes out there. You know, once it comes out in 4K, I know I'll be buying it. Chances are, you know, studio set the price. So I have no idea what it is as it comes out yet. But, you know, chances are it's going to be a $10 upgrade for me. So rather than, you know, buying the disc for, you know, $20-$25, I can, you know, I can have it pre-ordered. And basically, you know, the day it comes out, it's going to be downloaded onto my system and I'm probably only going to pay a, you know, $10 upgrade fee. So it's nice because it's not only discs that you own, but it's anything that you buy on our platform as newer, better, higher resolution platforms come out. You know, and then the same thing that's nice, obviously, if, you know, if it's going from, you know, HD Blu-ray to 4K, it's a purchase, but it's a discounted purchase. But there's times where, you know, we may just be adding Atmos. Right. Or DTSX.
That's, yep,
or,
that was my, you next know, question.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I had heard that because I had heard, I don't know if it was a couple years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some of your movies weren't coming out with Atmos, but it then, like, they were out in Atmos on disc. But then things flipped. Yes. And now all of a sudden people can't get a certain movie in Atmos anywhere except for you guys. And it's like, so it seems like there's an ebb and flow to everything, of course, but it seems like you guys are starting to get further and further ahead of the physical world. And I personally think it's because this is where everything is headed. And it's, and the studios know that. They don't, I mean, why do you want to press a disc when I can sell, either stream it or download it?
Well, and I think that comes in, and I can give you a couple examples of how that works, but you're exactly right. So, you know, as we look at content, now there has been content because it's all based on the studio. And most studios nowadays have a disc, like a head of their disc group and a head of their digital group. And so this is why it's not always 100%, you know, one for one when everybody's talking, right? And so, you know, there was a time, you know, absolutely, because this comes up. So I always like to clarify as we get in there, you know, one of the studios hadn't released Atmos because most of the digital side didn't really need it. So they hadn't released Atmos for some of those titles on for us yet because we'd be considered on the digital side. But then that got resolved last year. And then our content team basically goes in there and, you know, we get the Atmos file now and, you know, we make sure everything's right and everything syncs up properly and everything else. And then basically you'll get a notification saying, hey, there's a new version of this movie that you own. That now has Atmos or DTSX or whatever it is. Oh. Do you want to download it? Well, we don't charge for that. It's so the answer is obviously yes. You know, no, please keep me in 5.1.
Yeah. You got mono. So,
that's right. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when that upgrade comes out, you know, if it's on the audio side, you know, that's not a new purchase and it shouldn't be a new purchase. So it's just going to be one of those things where it's like, yeah, hey, time to upgrade. You know, and we're seeing that with more and more content that comes out there. And then, you know, as you mentioned, you know, and as I was saying with kind of that digital side and that disc side, you know, like I mentioned, you know, for new content, sure, it's going to come out in 4K. I'd assume it's going to come out on a 4K disc, if anything. But for a lot of that older fan favorite content, it hasn't. You know, because the studios don't think, like, how many discs do I have to press in order to make, you know, a logical reason for being able to put this out there.
Right.
And, you know, and especially if they see the numbers and they're like, well, nobody's buying them in 4K anyways. We've already got a DVD and a Blu-ray version.
Right.
And so on our side, that's allowed us to get probably about 35% more 4K content than's even available on disc. So that's about a little over 400 additional titles. So, you know, like I said, we've got 12,000 titles in total. About 1,200 of those titles are in 4K.
Do you have Hudson Hawk yet?
Good movie. There we go. I'll have to take a look at that. Probably not, but you know, but it's one of those where you know, as we look at this, the, you know, the content that's out there, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, as we look at, well, it actually was funny the other day, and I didn't even think about this. So somebody mentioned, well, you know, why isn't that you can't get the first Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Curse of the Black Pearl. Why can't I get that in 4K? All the rest of them were made in 4K.
Right.
Like, is that right? I'm pretty sure I have that in 4K because I have all of them. Well, sure enough, we have it in 4K, not available on disc. And so, you know, I know. I'm like, it's Pirates. You know, how could you not make a 4K version of this, right? And especially when we know it can be done because we have one. So, like I said, we'll take that advantage as long as it goes. And we seem to see that that advantage continue on as new content comes out because they're just not coming out with a reason for it. I think this last year, you know, even for physical people, has been a good year because there wasn't enough new content coming out. So studios were actually spending some time on some of the older content. And that's great for everybody because we're happy with it, because if they did it in one group, they're probably doing it in ours as well. You know, but again, it's one of those where, you know, National Treasure, you know, some of these are like popcorn favorites, right? Like I love the movie. It's, you know, again, it's not Academy Award winning, but it's, you know, but it's a fun movie. And the fact that I can get it on Kaleidoscape in 4K and I can't get it on disc in 4K, you know, it's just one of those value adds that we have, you know, and yet at the same time, and just because it comes up every once in a while, sometimes I think consumers, you know, things kind of spread out on the internet and they're like, well, you know, Kaleidoscape stopping us from getting this on physical disc because they did some sort of exclusive. And it's like, no. That's just not true. We're just taking, we're working with the studios to try to get new content. We're saying, hey, could you do this in 4K? Can we do this? Can we do that? And we're working to get it, but that's not stopping anybody else from getting it. We don't do that as an exclusive, but it is a value add. You know, if we can get it and somebody else can't, then, you know, that's something that our owner community gets to, you know, gets to appreciate.
Right.
And that's why our content team is so great, because they really are working deep with the studios to try to get that content. Like you said, you want Hudson Hawk? Great. Let's take a look at it, right?
Yeah.
You know, but same thing. Like I had a guy the other day that was talking about Bond. You know, and we've got pretty much the whole collection in 4K. You know, I mean, again, something that you just can't get, you know, in a lot of the discs. So yeah, you know, I always think it's exciting, and sometimes it's hard to remember when I'm buying movies left and right on my own as a Kaleidoscape owner. And then somebody's like, yeah, that hasn't come out in 4K. And I'm like, what do you mean? you know, because, hey, I don't have to worry about it. So I'm not looking at the discs necessarily.
Right. And I mean, great example. Like a lot of the examples you were using, like National Treasure, they're all Disney owned, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure Disney, not all of them, but I'm saying those examples.
Sure.
Disney's looking at the numbers, or these studios, not to pick on Disney, they're looking at the numbers and going, people are buying DVDs like crazy.
Yeah.
Blu-rays, eh. And 4K's not existent. It's only the blockbusters. It's only the home theater fan. Why me as a home theater fan? Now, I probably would buy National Treasure if it came out on 4K.
Sure.
But most people buying National Treasure are doing it so the kid can sit down and watch TV. Right. Or watch it or whatever. They don't care about the quality of the movie. So why would you spend the money to press a disc that and then come up with the box and all that? That's all cost. Whereas digitally, we'll make that into digital for, you know, 4K. There you go. It's done.
Yeah.
You know, digital's done.
And I think so many people, you know, as we buy physical content, you know, in the past and things like that, where, you know, we look at it and we go, oh, well, yeah, you know, but I bought such and such movie for $5 or $8 or $10, right?
Right.
But that's not because discs are being priced less expensive. That's because you have to make a whole bunch of them when you press a movie. And, you know, that Best Buy or that whatever is buying, again, a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 weeks after it releases, nobody cares about it anymore.
Right.
Because they're on to the next title. And now they have to get rid of this stuff. And unfortunately, that's why, because those units aren't selling until they get discounted so much. And this is where I say sometimes as a passion and as a you know, a group, you know, we kind of killed off physical media ourselves. If people were willing to buy it at $20, $25,
right,
then the stores would stock it, you know, and you wouldn't be having these same conversations of, oh, well, I went into my Best Buy yesterday and, you know, my 4K rack, you know, dwindled down to this big. You know, that's because people aren't buying that content, or they're waiting right. for it, or they're buying it, you know, in the pawn shops because somebody's reselling the stuff after they ripped it. Or, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, yes, we're doing everything the right way, so sometimes it costs a little bit more. But often, like I said, as we put our sales in and things like that, we're actually selling, you know, when was the last time you saw Marvel movies on a random day, not Black Friday, for $10? You right. know, same thing with Star Wars. We did, you know, May the 4th, right? You know, how to do something for Star Wars, you know, basically every movie for $10. You know, 4K HDR for $10.
Okay. To be honest, how many people with a system that has a Kaleidoscape in it don't already have Star Wars? Well, you know, it's like, hey, let's run a sale on like the highest grossing movie of all time. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, if I, personally for me, and again, this gets into your comment earlier, we think everybody's as passionate about something as I am, right? And that's the movie that got me started into home theater.
Sure.
So it's like, I want to get a Kaleidoscape and just watch Star Wars on it.
Sure.
And be like, okay, wow, that's awesome. And,
yep.
That, to me, it's like, how do you have a system like this and not already have all that? Because I always think of it's that person, but it's not. It's, I mean, the I got to imagine the range of people that you guys are selling to. It's got to be staggering, like,
well,
crazy,
yeah.
like,
you know, and it does. It ranges so widely because, you know, again, you know, Kaleidoscape, you know, you look at how it's been positioned sometimes in the past, and it was like, hey, it was luxury, or it's for the cinephile, right?
Yeah.
You know, and again, you know, even we've talked a lot about that in, you know, in the past as a company and this and that, because it is one of those places where it's like, hey, here's the list of the top AFI. Well, guess what? You can buy like 92 of those movies on our platform. You can get 3 of them on Netflix. You know, it's like, yeah. you know, so if you are a cinephile, those movies are there, right? You
right.
can get Chinatown in 4K. Can't get it on 4K in any other platform. You know, so those movies when people want them, but, you know, at the same time, yeah, it's about performance users and this and that. And somebody's, you know, every day somebody's discovering Star Wars for the first time, right?
Yeah.
You know, or a Marvel movie or this or that. And so we're constantly finding, I remember I had somebody, you know, this is probably a few months ago now, a big Marvel fan. And so, you know, he bought a system and he was going to be doing some digital stuff. So he already has it on disc, right? You know, he knew he was going to get a discount on that. But we had the Marvel sale going on. And he goes, well, do I wait for the disc to digital or do I buy it? I said, no, at $10, you buy it. You know, and so there's always somebody, you know, brand new who just picked up their system, you know, a week ago or a month ago, hasn't bought all those movies yet. And, you know, when we offer those sales, gives an opportunity for those movies, the Harry Potter movies, the Marvel movies. You know, we did, you know, during Oscar week, you know, again, a couple months ago now, you know, we had Academy Award winners and nominees. There were like 130 movies in there for either $10 or $15, you know, and I bought like 23 of them because yeah. I didn't own them, you know, or wanted to upgrade them or do whatever else. And so, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's just, it's an easier way to collect content because I can search through things. I can filter through things. I can say, hey, I only want to look at Atmos content. And I can actually look that up in my movie store and see only movies that have Atmos or only 4K HDR or 4K UHD and HDR. You know, whatever I right. want to look up, however I want to filter it. We've even got 72 collections. So if you're not sure what you want, you can look at curated collections that our content team has put together. You know, and take a look from there. So there's just, no matter who you are, to that point of, you know, whether I know the movies I want and I've got a deep collection, or I just kind of like, I don't know, teach me something new, you know, yeah. or I've got a family, we've got a Disney, or let's say a kids collection, right? A lot of Disney, a lot of Pixar. We've got all these collections pre-made. So, you know, if you just want to start buying stuff, then you can just buy it. If you want to kind of hand pick what you want to be able to watch, you can do that too. It's, you know, but with more than 12,000 titles, literally at your fingertips, you know, it's just a matter of figuring out what you want to watch and, you know, yeah. And you know, how and when you want to watch it.
So along that lines, I think I'd want to do it all myself, but
sure.
Do you guys on like installs and stuff, do you have like the capability or do you even sell like, here you go, you bought 40, you know, terabyte mm-hmm. system and you load it Do you guys load them and ship them out, or do you, is it, you know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah, so we definitely can. So, you know, like you said, it all depends on the user, right? You know, so same thing for me. I'm going to handpick my movies. I'm going to see exactly what I want when I want to add it. You know, but for some people, it is a convenience thing, right? You know, they're bringing their dealer in. They're like, hey, you know, I need some content on here. You know, what do I start out with? Well, like I said, we've got a 4K collection. You know, here's 100 movies that you can put on. Well, when you place that order, you order the 4K collection, or there's like a BBC collection, you know, so,
yeah.
You know, or the awesome kids collection. So all those movies, it just lists what they all are. And here's the price. And there's usually a little bit of a discount as you go in there, and we'll actually preload those. So, you know, our factory is in the US. It's actually in California. So all of our products are made here. And so, you know, they get built, and then our factory is about 15 minutes away from our headquarters. And then, that unit just gets shipped over to the, you know, to the office. And then our content team automatically, you know, loads all those movies for you. And then when it ships out, it's ready to go. By the time you do it, you turn it on, you plug it in, and right, you know, you've got 100 movies, 200 movies, whatever you want.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. It is cool.
That's
right?
So, you know, cool. That's, I mean, talk about turnkey.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, it's really cool too, when you get into, you know, obviously, you know, a good portion of our business is residential, but there's a good portion of our business is actually marine based. You know, so what, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, the little speedboat. We're talking about, you know, the yachts and the mega yachts and the, you know, and so, you know, but for them, you can't stream when you're out in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
You know, and so, and they want, you know, each of their cabins to be able to watch whatever they want to. So a lot of times those are systems that do have 10, 20, you know, plus systems in them. And so for them, we'll actually do a preload where when they come into dock, we'll actually send them the files so that they can, you know, basically download them immediately there so that those new movies and content are there for when they go out onto the next cruise. So, again, not something that we all have to deal with, but it's kind of cool to know that it's there, right?
Oh, so, man, that's awesome. It's so fun. Even in the world that I'm in, I work on cars for a living, and they like paint repair. Mm-hmm. And I've worked on cars worth over $1 million, and I've worked on, you know, a Ford Escort. But it's the range of people and the range of things that are out there and that you see. I actually know a guy, he does interiors. He'll go in and like, if you're, and he works alongside me at dealerships, same thing. And he's been on planes and boats, like you're talking about, to fix interior. Like they got a little bit of a rip in a piece of leather. They don't want to replace the $50,000 couch. And he's like, what? It's a what couch? And you want me to fix it? But you're out on this boat and you're like, oh, it's crazy. But I wouldn't even have thought of that, of like having a Kaleidoscape on a boat.
On a boat.
And it's a 10 room system.
Yeah. You know, I helped somebody, you know, a little bit ago that had an RV, you know, but again, yeah, RVs range, right? Yeah. An RV can be a $10,000 vehicle, or it can be, you know, $1 million vehicle. So,
right.
You know, but the guy had three zones, you know, he had his bedroom and he had a family room and, you know,
but, like, you know, in an RV, you've got to have top quality.
That's right. You know, what else am I, but, you know, but for a lot of them, you know, although some put little dishes and the rest, but like, what am I going to watch? If I'm traveling across the US, I need content, and I don't have room for hundreds of discs, but I have room for
wife
two
the whole
or
time.
You. I need something. Come on now. And so, you know, I think there's always an application for people, you know, same thing. You know, one of the cool things that, again, doesn't help everybody, but when you buy a movie on Kaleidoscape, you can actually download it on up to 5 systems. And that becomes practical is, you know, for some of these people that have larger systems, well, guess what? They also have a house in Tahoe, a summer home or a ski home or a whatever it is, right? And again, never going to hate, more power to you.
Oh, yeah.
So the beauty is, you know, your home system may have, like, let's say that bigger terrace system, right? And that's where I have all my movies. But I could buy a Strato S and put that in, you know, my vacation home.
Right.
And all those movies can download there for free. So again, I don't have to buy a second copy of the disc. I don't have to take discs with me from one place to another. And our systems work remotely. So I can actually, while I'm at my house, I can sit there and say, oh, well, I need more space. So I'm going to delete these 10 movies that I never watch. And then I'm going to put on these, you know, 20 new movies. Mm-hmm. And by the time I get there, all those movies are ready to go. So again, I'm not spending my vacation time trying to manage my content and download and delete and all that kind of stuff. I can do it from home, and then it just works remotely. So, you know, there's, like I said, a lot of cool stuff. It just depends on what your system requirements are. So that's why I always love the fact that I can get in at $6,000 and I can get that single room, single zone, gets me going, you know, if I've got a smaller theater or something like that. But if you're that mega yacht owner, or you're the, you know, or the multiple house owner, or this or that,
right,
there's a product that's there as well, you know, and I think that's always great, because it means that that system can scale no matter what you're doing. And especially if you're starting out younger. I know, like I said, I started out with, like I said, $300-$500 AVR.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple of bookshelves and, you know, some Sennheiser speakers and, you know, you know, and then, you know, so I love the fact that a Kaleidoscape system can really grow with that user from a, you know, from a smaller single room system in an apartment, you know, to the dedicated home theater room and multi-room, you know, home audio and video experience that you want to do. Whatever you want to do, we probably have a solution for it.
Yeah, that's it. Sounds it. It's like, yeah. I have, as far as like the system and how it plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, is there any kind of like, people are very like, they love their tone mapping, like the Panasonic UB820. I have that. I had a 1080p projector at the time, and my calibrator guy, that he takes care of all of my projectors, he calibrates everything for me, and I've known him for like 20 years now, and we've become friends. And he called me one morning, actually texted me at like 7:30 in the morning, and said, "Buy this." And I didn't even know what it was. Called it a Pano UB820. I'm like, "What?" And he sent me the link, and I'm like, "Okay." So I'm like, I bought it, and it was there in 2 days. And he goes, "Now do this," and he told me the settings for it, and I'm "Okay," and. Because of the tone mapping and the way that'll manipulate stuff to work with your whatever it is, projector, TV, or whatever.
Sure.
Does Kaleidoscape have anything like that?
So we do a lot of things. Obviously, as we build them, you know, and again, mm-hmm. You can watch the movie if it's in HDR. Or, you know, we try to keep it as specifically, you know, as the director intended, right? So mm-hmm. we're not adding coloring, and we're not doing a lot of these things. You know, it's we're just trying to make it as perfect as it was coming in is as perfect as it is coming out, right? Perfect in, perfect out. And so, you know, so for a lot of that, there's not a lot that we need to do in there. Now we can select things like, you know, do I always want it to show out 4K? Do I want it to be able to shift between things? We can take a look. So we actually know, you know, am I watching this on a 16:9, which obviously would be your panel users and, you know, and obviously a lot of projector users as well. Or is this in a 2:3:5? You know, format, right? Or 2.4, mm-hmm. You know, which is used obviously primarily if you enjoy really watching movies, because so many movies are done that way. And so but you can put all those settings into our system, and then the system knows what you're watching it on. And so even like our user interface on that menu system, if you say, you know, for a lot of people, if you've got a, you know, 2.35, 2.4 screen, you know, you've got black bars on the side, that menu system doesn't fit to it, or you're stretching it out.
Right.
Well, we actually, if it's a 16:9, we have a menu system. If it's a 2:3:5, we have a different menu system. Okay. So we actually add additional titles to fill up the screen, because we know what size screen you have. Same thing if you have an anamorphic lens, right? So again, we see a little bit less of that nowadays, but you know, for a lot of people, well, when you have that anamorphic lens, you got to slide it on and off depending on the title that you're watching. Well, because we know what your screen size is, and we know that you have an anamorphic lens because you told us, we can actually compress it. So depending on which, if you've got a vertical or a horizontal, we can actually compress it, so you never have to move that lens at all. And basically the lens just reorients it. So there's a lot of stuff that we do in there. You know, similarly, if you've got an electric masking screen, right? You know, so again, as you watch that 16:9 content or that 2:3:5 content, depending on which size screen, we can actually send out. So our content team does a few different things. So in every movie that we do, we tag the aspect ratio. So we know if it requires, we know your screen dimension, we know the ratio of the movie. And so we can send it out. So if you have an electric screen mask, that control system can automatically adjust that mask based on the movie. You don't have to hit the buttons. You don't have to know what's going on.
Wow.
Which is great, especially when you look at like other family members coming in, because there's always one of us that's a little freakier. And we're like, oh, I don't mind. I can hit this button. And, you know, here's my 69 button. Here's my 2-4 button. You know, but then when the spouse comes in or the kid comes in or the babysitter comes in, nobody else knows how to do it, right? There's one person in the house that can actually set a system up and nobody else is allowed to watch a movie.
Well, that's what made Harmony so great.
It had the help absolutely. Button.
Right?
Yep, and it was exactly like, right. Hey, oh, I don't know what's happening. Hit the help. Did this fix this?
Which usually is what I would say when I was on the phone. Be like, did you hit the help button? Okay. So what is it saying now? Okay. Do that. Do that. Do that. Okay.
You're That's done. Right. And it's doing most of it for you, right? ABR. Did this switch? Did that take care of it? Yes. Okay. Right. No? Okay. Here's the next thing. And so a lot of that, we've automated that for you. The other thing that's really cool, you know, again, if you're building a custom theater, there's a good chance you've got some lighting control in there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every movie, we tag the intro credits. So as that movie's starting, we tag right when the credits start. So just like when you go to the movies, right? Yep, you know, and the house lights are up and then the credits start and then it darkens up. Same thing. So we send out a tag that automatically says lower the house lights or whatever lights you want to based on your house. And we can set that up. When the end credits, so when the trailing credits start up, we send a tag out as well. And that allows you to say, hey, let's ramp up the house light so that you can see where you're going as people are getting up. And so those are things that no streamer, no disc player, nobody else does that because nobody else is frankly willing to spend the time.
Right.
You know, to program those things in by movie, because it's not like you can just say 30 seconds in or 40 minutes in or this, you know, you have no idea. Every movie is a little different. And so you know, we make those things specific because our content team are as passionate about movies as, you know, as you are or I am or, you know, any of your, you know, listeners are. And that's what we build those things for, you know, and those are the functionality that I think sometimes gets missed when people just start saying, well, is it really better than disc? You know, as we talk, you know, sure, but that's table stakes. Even if even if the statement was, we're just as good bit for bit, right?
Right.
There's still so many other cool features that are making it easier, not having to look for movies, you know, our sales and our the digital stuff, all the tagging that we do in the content. We have a feature like favorite scenes. So, you know, typically when you're watching a movie, you chapter skip, right?
Yep.
And that's how we get there. And then we fast forward and rewind till we get to the scene. Well, our content team literally goes through pretty much every movie. And finds those favorite scenes, those scenes that they love or people, you know, have talked about for years, and we actually tag them, but the scene specific, not a chapter, you know, mark,
right.
but the actual scene, you know, here's a minute and 31 seconds of this scene. But even better, you can actually make your own. So for guys like you, for guys like me, for anybody that wants to show off their system, and this is literally the one. So the one video where, you know, somebody will tell me, somebody said this the other day, they jumped in, there's a Kaleidoscape users group on forum, and there's a Kaleidoscape owners group in the website, you know, for people that don't use Facebook. And so, you know, this gentleman says the other day, he's like, hey, I just, you know, I'm in the family now. I bought my first, you know, Strata system. And it's like, congratulations. And I go, do you know how to make what we call a demo script? And the answer is obviously no, because all these people are brand new. I go, well, hold on. I'm going to send you this, you know, 10-minute video, and it walks you through how to make your own demo scenes. But even cooler than that, you can chain together multiple scenes from different movies. So, you know, for a guy like me, now this is great for dealers, but it's also great for consumers because we love to show off our stuff, right?
Exactly.
You know, we built a theater for a reason. Come on now.
Yeah, exactly.
we got to impress our buddies, and we got to do this.
Now. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, what I love is it's like, you know, for me, it's like, okay, so, you know, where are we going to start? Let's start with some, you know, dynamic range, you know, in color and HDR and the rest. So I'll often start out with, you know, maybe it's Planet Earth 2, you know, or something like that, where there's just some gorgeous colors in there, deep blacks, you know, whatever I want to kind of show off. And so, you know, I'll start off with that. And so it'll show the clip that I want to show. And then it's like, well, okay, now let's look at some Atmos. So maybe it's like Baby Driver or, you know, Ready Player One or, you know, whatever it is that you want to be able to show. And then I show a scene of that. And it's like, well, okay, well, now let's listen to some music. So, you know, we've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of concert titles as well. So now I can show Adele or Eric Clapton or John Mayer or whatever it is that I want, because I want to show off those speakers, You know, they're not just for movies. You know, it sounds amazing with audio as well.
Yeah.
And I can show that. And then if I want to show some LFE, maybe it's Wrath of Man or, or the other day at Cedia, we were doing Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Crazy. And so, you know, but I can chain all those movies together. I don't have to see any FBI warnings. I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to pull movies in and out. It just runs one right after the other. And I can put delays in there. I can make it so it shows at one time. We're doing, so there's a panel and a projector shootout that a company called Value Electronics in New York does pretty much every year. And so I was literally last night working on it, or I shipped it out last night. So the night before I was working on it till about 11:30. And I put together, they're like, these are the 9 scenes that we want to show for the shootout.
Yeah.
And I put them in and I can loop them. So they just continuously play. Because they only want to show 15 seconds, right? It's like, where's the deep black or where's the movement? All those things that we look at when we're objectively trying to, you know, compare a projector or a panel.
Right.
And so, you know, I just, okay, tell me what the scenes are. Here's the markers. I build them out and I just have it. So it's on a forever loop until they hit stop. So it plays 20 seconds. It rewinds and goes back and plays it again. And so they were blown away by how you could do that in there. And so it's like, great. You know, but I think those are the really cool things that, you know, that once somebody buys into the platform, some people didn't even really know it, right? It's like, oh, it's a, you know, it's a movie player, my dealer, you know, kind of like you said, you know, told me to buy my panty, right? You know, and like, you know, here's an 820, buy it. And you're like, okay.
Okay. What am I doing?
And, you know, like I said, we love that. I'm going to tell you to buy one as well, DJ. Everybody on here should buy, buy a Kaleidoscape. 20 minutes later, I expect to see you. you know, that would be great. But those are the things that a lot of times people don't fully understand what they're unlocking until they get it, right?
Right.
You know, look at Trinov, look at all these other brands that do some crazy, crazy stuff that, one, not everybody's going to use, but two, it's nice to know you have some headroom. You know, but also, you know, sometimes as you're using them, you're learning these new features, you know, and we've got people that are, they're creating demo scripts and they're sharing them with other people so that other people can kind of see their favorite scenes in a movie or this or that. Cool. And so there's really a lot of cool features that once you're into it, you know, you really get to learn all these features. And that's one of the things, like I said, from my perspective, you know, I'm like, hey, here's a video that I made. Why wouldn't I want to share it with everybody? So, you know, whenever I see anybody that just bought a system or people that I'm chatting with in the forums that have questions, you know, invariably when they end up, you know, looking and they buy one, then I'm like, okay, here's the few videos that I did that you're going to want to make sure that you're set up properly, or, you know how to build demo scripts, or, you know, here's how you set this up depending on, you know, the way that your screen's built, or you need to add more storage, or you need to replicate a system. There's a lot of stuff that we have in there that your dealer can obviously do for you. But as we get some of those people that are a little bit more DIY and hands-on and want to be able to build the systems themselves, but want the best quality, you know, I'm happy to show them how to do it themselves, because we don't lock anybody out of this stuff. It's just a lot of people don't touch it themselves. That's what they have a dealer for. So either way, we're more than happy to make sure they get taken care of.
So are you able to, like, if you put a bunch of scenes together, mm-hmm. are you able to, like, are we able to communicate and you can give me that as long as I own the same movies?
Own the same movies. So obviously, like anything else, everything's copy protected, right? So of I can't course. Just send you,
but you
otherwise
can give
I'd be
me the
sending
action.
You a scene of the whole movie, right?
Right, right.
But yes, you're dead on. So basically, you know, if you own the movies and I own the movies, I can send you, it's a little file, you know, I can just email it to you or, you know, whatever, message it over to you. And now you can download that onto your system and you can play it. You know, and now you can say, like, oh, this is the scene Brett was talking about. You know, this is this. And you can play those same scenes and you don't have to set them up. You don't have to do anything else. So, you know, that's always something that I tell people, or as we've been looking at, you know, again, nothing official on here, DJ, but I'll tell you because we were chatting about this internally the other day. So if somebody does come on and they're like, hey, I want to learn more, they can always reach out to me. And I know you'll provide that information in there. Yeah. But if they do, I'll give you 5 movies. You know, I'll build you a demo script and 5 of my favorite demo scenes that you're going to want to use to show off, right? That are great for every system. And I'm more than happy to build that kind of stuff out because I think it's just fun. You know what? Somebody should be able to start out and, like, plug in their system. This is like where you were asking before, like, you know, can you get the movies already downloaded?
Right.
You know, I think it's a blast when I can sit there and say, here's movies that I've I've demoed 100 times and I know are absolutely phenomenal, have great black scenes. You know, whatever it is you tell me you kind of want to show, but here's my 5 favorite scenes in movies. And I'll build the demo script and I'll send it right over to you. And, you know, again, it takes no time at all to be able to upload those. So lots of fun stuff. And like I said, if anybody, you know, is actually ends up wanting to buy or this or that, like I said, I don't push it hard from that perspective, but if somebody wants it, I'm more than happy to make it a little bit more fun. You know, anything I can do to help out.
More fun.
Jazz to do. Yeah.
Make it more fun.
More fun.
Do you get a boat?
Do I get a
Yeah. Dude, that's real fun.
That's right. Well, so it was funny because as I'm building a lot of these trainings, I'm always focused on the residential guy, right? Because you know, that's what I've always done and this and that.
Yeah, you're on land. That's what you I'm think on, everybody's I'm on land, land right? right?
You know, exactly right. You know, and while I'm on a coast, so I am close to water. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't have my mega yacht to, you know, to test this out on. But I was chatting with our head of marine sales. And so we were talking about, like, I need a custom create and tweak.
Marine sales.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man. It's there. He's the residential for Florida. But, you know, it's Florida. Yeah, so they got right, a lot of boats coming in and out.
The
right?
peninsula.
So,
okay. Marine sales.
So so he's in charge of both. He's got Florida and he's got marine sales. But we were talking about creating some custom trainings for the marine industry. And for the most part, it's the same, right? You know, it's like car versus home. You know, it's like 12 volt versus, you know, 120 versus, you know. And so most of the stuff's the same, but there's a few things that are different. Like, how do I download movies and how do I do this and that since you're on a boat and you're in the middle of nowhere? And so I said, oh, yeah, we can definitely create some new trainings. We could do this and that. I'll create some videos. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
Get one of your dealers or one of your clients to, you know, get me out on that, you know, super yacht. And I'm more than happy to make a video training of, you know, how to set this up. So, you know, it's fun, but it's just like you said, everybody's got a different size system. I've been in systems where they're $1 million systems, right?
Right.
And huge dedicated rooms, stuff that, you know, again, I can't afford. But that doesn't mean I can't live vicariously through other people, you know? You know, and it's just like with the car stuff, you know, it's like I'm a huge car guy as well. And it's like, you know, you have different things, but I can appreciate, I was at an event on Sonoma the other day. So usually I race on Laguna and I race on Sonoma. And we're out there and there were all these, you know, McLaren 720s and, you know, and, you know, Ferraris and, you know, you see all these cars and I'm like, yeah, I can't afford it, but I can sure appreciate it and I can look at it and I can, you know, and then I take my little, you know, 2017 Grand Sport out, you know, and I still tear it up on the track, you know, it's like, you know, and then I see the guy next to me driving a Miata who's even faster.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, you know, it's all about what you're willing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the Miata guys will push the hell out of their cars.
You know, I have an RX-8. I have a Mazda RX-8. Oh, yeah, perfect. RX-8 that. And it's like, what's funny is getting to the whole Ferrari Kaleidoscape idea is like, I knew I can never afford a Ferrari. So what I did look at was the Acura NSXs.
Yes.
Because that, even when I was a kid, they were $100,000, $120,000 grand, way out of my range. But someday, maybe, when the, you know, you get a used one and then it's like, and then, it, you know, and I bought my Mazda back in 2007. I got it used, and it was an 05. But I'm like, that's my little sports car now.
Oh.
And honestly, when Kaleidoscape first came out, absolutely loved them. And I told everybody about them. But I'm like, it was a Ferrari. Completely unattainable. It's not anymore. It's back to that. It's like, it's funny. No, the article that you did with Todd Anderson at AV Nirvana.
Yeah, over at AV Nirvana.
Yeah, he did the car analogy as well. With the Dodge Demon, I think it was, or something.
Yeah.
It's like talking about putting the fuel in it and everything.
Yeah, putting the digital racing fuel, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was like, but it's like, but it's so, it is so analogous because that's absolutely. Cars, it's like, they're so utilitarian, right? Like, you got to have one to go to work, get back and forth. You don't need a Ferrari. Similar to, if you want to watch TV, you just need a TV and a box, and that's it.
Yep.
Or you can have the Ferrari, which you guys still offer the Ferrari, it's definitely entry level now. It's not entry level, but for a dedicated room.
Again,
it's a great,
Well, and like I said, when you have a range that goes from $6,000 to, you know, let's say 30, and again, maybe you need 272 terabytes and what, you know, so it could go higher than that, but typically wouldn't. You know, but that was the entry price 20 years ago, right? You know, so again, the price of everything has come down And, you know, I always look at it, you know, chatting about cars on here. So, you know, I've used this for years on the CDS side and the rest, because everybody loves to talk about the high-end systems, right? It's got to be a Questron system. It's got to be a, you know, this and that. And I love those systems, you know, but I also love a Harmony system, right? Especially when I was selling Harmony.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
It was helpful then.
Well, you know, yeah. You're right. That's crap. But, you know, I got to.
Hey.
So, you know, but the thing was, Harmony could do so much for a lower price point, right? You know, and it could do 80% of the same stuff and could control lighting and everything else. And so I always use the analogy, same thing on the car side of, you know, I have this slide and I always love it. And, you know, it shows the high end stuff. And it's like, this would be your Crestron and your Control 4s and, you know, and your Lawns and Savants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's your Bugatti. That's your, you know, that's your Porsche. That's your Lamborghini. That's your this and that. And then I kind of show like, you know, here's your RTI and your, you know, your URC and maybe a base level Control 4. You know, everybody's kind of come down a little bit. And that's like your Audi. Right. And then I'd show like your DIY. This is your Harmony kind of stuff. And that's your VW.
Yeah.
And I'd ask people, anybody know why, I could have picked whatever car brands I wanted. Anybody know why I picked these car brands? And, you know, invariably somebody gets it. And they're like, well, they're all owned by the same company.
Exactly. Right? Yep.
And so I go, exactly right. I said, you know, now can anybody tell me which company owns all these brands? And do you know, DJ?
Which owns them all?
Yeah, so like all those brands are all owned by one company. What do you know? What the parent company is?
Well, it's not VW.
Yeah, it is. Not,
yeah, that's what, yeah. VW
so,
is the main.
But everybody company. Thinks yeah. like, oh, Lamborghini, Bugatti, the $2 million car, Lamborghini does less than $1 billion a year in revenue.
Right.
VW does more than $76 billion.
Right.
You know they buy the brands. You know and same thing with Porsche. I go everybody all the purists. Are always like, you know, it's got to be a 911. It's got to be a, a 911 GT3. It's got to be a this and that, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Panameras and the Macans and, you know, and all these, oh, no, those aren't real Porsches. And I'm like, yes, it's not a track car. No debate, right? I'm not putting a Cayenne on track, although I'm sure somebody does. But I go, the Cayennes, the Macans, and the Panameras are what pays for the ability to still make 911s. And I think it's the same thing, you know, in all these things, right? And that's why I never say, oh, it has to be Kaleidoscape. Like, whatever keeps people buying movies so that they'll still make great movies, that's what we want as an industry, because that's what's giving us the content that we want. But there does come a level where, you know, I want the best performance. You know, I don't buy a Porsche necessarily for luxury. I buy it because it's performance, right? It rips around a track, even though it has less horsepower right off the line than a Dodge Demon, you know, Hellcat or whatever else does. The reality is it still gets around the track faster because it's balanced and it's the total experience. And I think that's where, you know, again, people kind of look at it sometimes on the, you know, versus disc kind of thing where it's like, well, you know, how much better performance? Like you were saying, your kid asked, like how much better performance to make it worth it? Cause it's a lot more. And it's like, well, that's not why I'm buying it. I'm buying it for the total experience.
Yeah.
You know, and when I look at it like that, nothing else even compares because nothing else has the content teams working on, you know, chapter marks in and out and aspect ratios and, you know, to be able to set your screens and the ability to buy content literally off the fly, but still get it in lossless audio and, you know, visually lossless video. You know, nobody else does that, you know, and I think that's where, you know, it always blows me away because most of us can appreciate a car that's aspirational and, you know, again, I'm not going to buy a Ferrari anytime soon either.
Yeah.
But then sometimes don't get it when we're talking about things like Kaleidoscape or,
right.
you know, or even a projector or this or that, right? You know, whereas I'm sitting there going, well, you have to have a little bit of everything. And just because I can't afford it today doesn't mean I shouldn't appreciate what it can do or acknowledge what it can do. Yeah. You know, and I think that's always the thing that, you know, I like to come on and talk about because I see so many people, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, you know, the guys that own it usually love it. And so they're usually saying, oh, this is the best.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really help somebody answer a question of why.
Right.
And then, you know, the flip side is the Plex guy or the disc guy who's saying like, oh, no, I'd never spend that much money on it. But they half the time they've never even used it. Probably 80% of the time they've never even seen one.
Right.
It's just a candid response to this is out of my price range. And I think you really have to be able to look at all of it because it's no different than saying, you know, do I want a Sony 395 projector, which gets me 4K, but is bulb based? Or do I want a 915, you know, which is 4K as well, but is laser based, right. You know, and or do I need a Lumigen processor? Or do I need a Trinov? You know, when sure, technically a $500 receiver will, you know, will still play Atmos for me. But there are differences between them. Not that we all need them, but that we should appreciate those different levels. And sometimes it's, well, once I get it, I sit there and go, wow, I had no idea. Or because it's so easy to collect movies, people are buying more movies. Those are the things I think that, you know, that really come in there to be able to say, that's what makes Kaleidoscape so cool. That's why I wanted to work here. That's why I bought one myself. That's why I'm always buying movies. Yep. And that's why I spend so much time in the community, because I want to be able to answer those questions, not just for the owners that I want to help support, but also for those people in the general home theater forums, because I'm in dozens of them, that have questions that aren't getting answered, and they don't have a dealer that they go to. So I'm kind of that free resource where I'm happy to answer questions and do whatever and chat with people like you. Because if it gets somebody to say, hey, at least I get it. I can't afford it today, but at least I get it, you know? And then that becomes an aspirational product for in the future. No different than buying a new TV, buying a new projector, buying a new receiver, preamp and pro and amplifier. You know, again, this is definitely an industry where we love our toys and we love to upgrade and we get to one level and now we fully understand that. And it's like, oh, it can get better.
Yep. Exactly.
You know? And I think that's really the beauty of this is, you know, enjoy whatever you have, absolutely, but there is a better, you know, there's a better, there's a more convenient, and there's something that not only you, but everybody else in your household is probably going to have an easier time using. And I think sometimes that's worth gold, especially in my house where I'm always tweaking with stuff.
Yeah.
And my wife doesn't really want to, and my daughter doesn't really want to. So if I can sit there and make it easier for them, that's really the goal for a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's I started with somebody gave me a throwaway 25-inch TV back in 1988, and I took a realistic receiver, paired it with some crappy speakers, and I was off and running. And today I have a Sony projector. I have if you looked at the two, you'd be like, how did you get from here to here? Well, 30 years. But there's always that next rung, and if you're really into this hobby, you're always looking to it. To get to that next rung. Exactly. There'll never be a day where, if you're really into this hobby, you'll never be a day where you just go, all right, I'm done. I'm happy. Yeah. I'm done. Because you're never happy. That's, at least I'm not.
Yes. No, I agree. It's unfortunate. It's even harder. No,
it's not unfortunate. That's the hobby.
It's not. That's the fun of it, right? You know, but it's always one of those things where, you know, especially, you know, like I said, I've been fortunate. I work in Kaleidoscape. I bought those products. I work for Bowers & Wilkins. You know, but there still comes a point where it's like, I would demo literally all day long a Mac stack with 800 D3s. And, you know, executives would come in. I was the guy who gave all the demos, right? So, whatever I want to play with, I can play with, I can do this and that, but I don't own them at home.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could. And at some point, if I was still there, I still may, you know, but it was always one of those things where it's like, sometimes you talk about it, but it's not what you can own. You know, I don't want to force people to stretch. But when I saw the Kaleidoscape stuff, I bought it. You know, I mean, with having an Opal player, even with having every streamer out there and all this and that, you know, I could see the difference and hear the difference. And like you said, it's not inexpensive, but it's not nearly as big of a purchase as it used to be.
It
was well worth an upgrade to my system where my speaker sounded better. My amp sounded better. My image looked better. And it was an immediate upgrade and so much more convenient to use.
Oh, so I know we're getting, you're highly scheduled. I know we're getting to the end here because believe it or not, Joe put us together.
Yeah.
5 months ago. You and I have been going back and forth for five months. And like at the beginning of August, we're like, well, you were like, I've got to go to see, I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to be doing this. And I'm like, okay. And I'm just this little podcaster. Whenever you can come on, that's great. I would love to have you back to talk about your system.
Sure.
That would be so much fun. But before you go today, I got to ask you, what is your favorite movie to play on your Kaleidoscape? Or overall, what's your favorite movie?
You know, I mean, if we look at favorite movies, You know, it goes, I think that's different than demo, right? You know, and so, well, I mean, it depends. Right, fair enough. But, you know, like I, you know, Tombstone has always been one of my favorites. You know, so, you know, Tombstone, you know, Batman Begins, you know, it's just, it's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, versus some of the earlier ones.
He was the first one to do that.
Oh yeah. You know, Nolan it's darker. Like that. Yeah. Nolan does such a great job in all that kind of
stuff. He turned the comic genre to actual
blockbusters.
Film.
Yeah.
Into a film.
And I even look at that, like things like Blade, right? You know, which again got a great release, you know, the first one at least in 4K, and looks phenomenal in there. So I've been spending a lot of time going back through my collection, you know, and rewatching stuff in higher resolution than I had it before. You know, so I love, you know, all those kind of movies I think are absolutely amazing for the content side. Shawshank, you know, things like that I truly love. You know, Remember the Titans, you know, I love story movies or story
great movies,
right? You know, and those are kind of timeless and, you know, and everything from that perspective. You know, demo content wise, you know, I think Wrath of Man from a newer release. Okay. You know, it's a popcorn movie. I always kind of say it's like the new version of Heat, right?
Yeah.
We all love that scene, you know, where they have the shootouts and all this and that. You know, and this does it, but now it's an Atmos and a lot more LFE and things like that. You know, so I think, you know, ones like that are absolutely great. You know, obviously Marvel movies I love, and Star Wars and all those are phenomenal as well. So you know, it's hard when you're a real movie lover, it's hard to pick one. You know, but I'd have to say story wise, probably Tombstone.
I love that movie.
That was a movie poster I had in high school, you know, sitting on my wall. You know, and nowadays, you know, like I said, I love the big blockbuster, you know, kind of movies with a lot of CGI. I just think they're fun, you know, good Atmos content, good LFE content. You know, and I think Marvel's done a great job, you know, at being able to build out those genres and make them into real movies. You know, so yeah, you know, I think stuff like that, but I'm always watching, you know, I thought Nobody was great, you know, as that just came out.
That was awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, there's always, like I said, a ton of great new content that's coming out. How about yourself, DJ?
Star Wars. A New Hope. That's the first one. That's what got me going. So like when somebody asks me, I have to say that, but same thing. It's like this. Then it goes like, I love Terminator 2 because I spent so much time on that in my theater back in the 90s. And my theater was a 32-inch TV in my living room with surround sound, but you know what I mean? But it's the movies that I always went back to.
That you grew
and it's
up
like, when I get my Kaleidoscape, the first movie I'll watch on it will be A New Hope. Because every time I upgrade a piece, that's what I go to. And it helps me. I've said this to listeners, too, that have asked advice when they've got new systems.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not so much what I like. It's what do you like? Because when you start out with a new system or new piece, put in something that you know, like the back of your hand, so you're going to be able to get the benefit of that upgrade and see the difference and be like, oh, yeah, this does look better.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think that's exactly right. It's got to be something that you know, especially if you're, you know, again, if you're trying to make an objective demo, right? I always tell people same thing when you're looking at projectors or listening to audio and speakers, you know, don't just take what the person's trying to show you, right? You know, at the dealership, because they're going to show you some cool stuff and you want to hear it. And sometimes you hear things that you've never heard before. But at the end of the day, it's you know your favorite title, right? You know, know when, you know, when Zeppelin comes on or this or that, I know every string in there. I know every this that. And that's what I want to listen to, because they're going to always pick something that sounds and looks amazing. I want to see something that's, you know, that I know well, and I can actually say, no, here's the intricacies of, here's the difference. Oh, here's something that I never even saw on this before, or something that I never heard before, you know, in the VHS version or the Laserdisc version.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I think that's the beauty of it. And so, yeah, it's always great when you have that, you know, here's the New Hope, here's the something else. You know, yes, there's stuff that has newer, better CGI, more flashy, but you know the movie, right? And again, especially with that one, there's so much true animatronics. I think that always makes that so great as well. It, you know, it's far more natural than what you see today, where nobody's even wearing the costume. Nobody's doing this and that. It's all CGI.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it's so great when you can get some of those big ones. Lord of the Rings is always a favorite of mine as well from that, you know, where, you know, you have a mix of CGI, but you have true costumes. There's time spent making that world look real, you know, and I think those are the things, and Star Wars does that well as well. You know, Indiana Jones, those are the things that, you know, really came in, you know, and delve deep into the world. I think Harry Potter does an amazing job of that too. If I really looked at like, what's my favorite of all those is probably Harry Potter. I think they've built one of the best, you know, it's not my favorite. Like I love the movies in general and this and that, but when I just look at like how, you know, you built the set, you built the universe, it is a true universe. I think they did a great job with that, you know, and are those big blockbusters that I just absolutely love, you know, when you watch them.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of Harry Potter. I'm still not, I've seen the movies, but I'm not a huge fan of that.
Sure.
Even the genre.
Sure.
But we went to the Harry Potter at Universal in Florida. Mm-hmm. Have you been in that thing?
Yeah.
It was,
and you go on the ride when you,
you go in and in to get in it, you have to find it. The first year we went 2 years in a row. The first year we couldn't find the damn place.
Sure.
Cause it's that weird entrance and then you come into it. Well, when we finally found it the second year, it was probably an 85, 90 degree humid day in Florida. And we stepped in there and the temperature dropped. It felt like it dropped because it's the cool, the tones that they set in that place.
Yeah.
You're like, this is nice. This is crazy. It's, what a world. Like, you literally step into that world, and it's, I mean, obviously they got that from making the movies. They know how to build that world.
But that's the thing I think that I like. You know, to the same point, like you said, it's not my favorite movies. Although if it's on TV, it's one of those you can kind of watch from whatever point. And you know, and again, my daughter's a teenager. My wife said teaches elementary school, so she's read all the books. So they love it.
Oh, wow.
But I just love the universe that it expands to. Yeah. And like you said, even when you go to Universal, you take the train out there, you know, to the point where like they've even got the LCDs on the sides, right?
Yeah.
You go inside and you go into the windows, and if the kids have a wand, they wave the wand and the stuff actually does stuff. I'm like,
right.
Is stuff. And Star Wars is great for that as well, right? I haven't had a chance to see it because as COVID came in, right, when it was all starting up. But like, you know, in the LA version, you know, again, looking at Star Wars World, and you just see it's that time and attention to detail that in my mind just says, this is a culture shift. This is something just like Star Wars did. You know, it's like this is something that shifted a culture that everybody can understand, whether it's your favorite movie or not. You have to appreciate the fact that everybody knows the quotes. Everybody knows that, you know, and when you see it done, they don't allow it. Although not everybody loves all 9 titles, but you know, or you know, New Hope better, right? You know, but you have to appreciate, you know, just the universe that's being built around it and the attention to detail that gets done with it. You know, so you know, and that's the escape of movies, right? That's why we love them so much. You know? So,
and that's a great point right there. The attention to detail, and that's exactly like everything you've told me today. That's what I like about this whole Kaleidoscape thing even more now. Obviously before I even met you, I love this stuff, but the attention to detail that we appreciate. I mean, you're marketing to such a small group of people,
non-existent
but that is so much fun for people like when I'm watching I did an Apollo 13 watching some of the extras, and Ron Howard looks into the camera and goes, you know, I'm talking to the home theater fan, and you're like, that's me.
That's me.
Right? And it's like, there's only like 6 of me, but he's talking to us. Right? And it's like, so like, how do you, even if you can't afford the class, how do you not appreciate somebody that's putting out such a product that is for, you can't get there, but wow, it's like somebody's really, they have more passion than I do. Can you believe that? It's like, it's hard not to, it's crazy. And it's awesome. Awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, and I think, you know, again, it's not just me. I know I'm usually the one talking because I've got this custom install background and a lot of these things, but it's everybody that's there. That's what I've loved is, like you said, marketing team, tiny little group, make a couple videos, do this and that. Our whole team is like content people and engineers. How do I make it, you know, so the technology is better? And then how do I make it so that all the movies coming in and everything else get ingested and look perfect and sound perfect and tag everything? That is really what the company's about. And that's what I love about it, is that it's really designed for people like us.
Right.
That love the movies. And, you know, and again, whether you can buy it today or hopefully, you know, at some point in the future, you know, realize that it's companies like Kaleidoscape that are trying to push the studios to come out with more 4K content, that are, you know, pushing for better Atmos, that are pushing for all these different things because we want it.
Right.
You know, and we want everybody to be able to enjoy that. You know, and again, as we create new products, I think, again, as our new leadership team came in to kind of round it back to the beginning, you know, those new team members come in as I got recruited in. You know, it's really there to help take the product that's been great for 20 years, but lead it into that newer direction of evolving it, you know, further and further into, you know, how can I make it so it's a, you know, a little bit more affordable so more people can enjoy it? How can I make it so that we're getting the best technology out there? How can I make it so that we're making sure that, you know, we always have, you know, the best picture, the best sound, the best everything? Because that's what we all want. That's our strive for everything, no matter what budget you're spending. You know, and I think products like ours, as well as everything that's out there, you know, is really designed for those of us that are really passionate about it. And we all need to support each other rather than, you know, trying to talk about who's better, who's this. It doesn't matter what we're talking about, right?
Right.
The JVC guys hate Sony, the Sony guys hate JVC, the Control 4 guys. And I'm like, you know what? They're all amazing products.
Yeah.
You know, buy what you prefer, what looks right to you, what sounds right to you, you know, and what's going to upgrade your system are things that we should, you know, all appreciate no matter what budget we're at.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Let's end on that. Awesome.
Absolutely,
DJ. Thank you so much,
I appreciate the time. Oh, of course. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm glad we got a chance to come together.
Yeah.
And like you said, thank you for giving me a little time as we got close to CEDIA. You know, but I, again, I'd be more than happy to come out. You know, come on again. We could talk about my system. We could talk about your system.
Yeah.
You know, again, there's always so much fun stuff to talk about. So whatever I can always do to help you and your community, you know, I'm always happy to be able to do.
Thanks, Brett. Really appreciate it. We're going to get, we'll keep in touch. And anything pops up and you want to come on, let me know. And absolutely, you want to talk about it. And it's, I mean, that's the thing. We said yesterday, we're like, a quick call just to see what we're going to, this is what's going to, what we're on, 20 minutes?
It's like, at least,
people like us going and you're like, you can't stop. But
this you got to have fun.
Yeah. A lot of fun. Thank you very much, Brett. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great night. Bye bye.
Thank you again to Brett. Thank you again to Joe for setting that up. What did I tell you? The passion. We had such a great time. When we were done recording that, we talked for like another half hour. We've talked since then. We've had a great time. It was so much fun. And do you see what I'm talking about? The passion, the little things that they think of, the idea. And you get what you pay for. I mean, they're giving a quality product. I hate to sound like somebody that's like, I'm like, oh, I get nothing out of this. I just like talking to people that are passionate about home theater. Clearly, Brett is. He wants to come back and talk just movies, not even talk about Kaleidoscape. He just wants to talk about home theater. I can't wait to talk to him about his system and everything. But that's what came across to me in this interview. Let me know. I'll be back on Tuesday. Let me know. You know, we'll talk about it on Tuesday. Let me know in comments. Tweet at me at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And let me know what your thoughts on our Kaleidoscape, negative or positive. You know, I mean, some people, it's so expensive, it's out of reach. They don't even like to think about it. But you got to respect the product. It's a quality product that maybe it's out of reach, but they're putting the work in. They're putting the effort in, and it's something that I know I'm trying to attain. And even whether I have to build it myself or whatever, but just the entire, from the top all the way down to the bottom, the company is just passionate about home theater. And I just love that. Absolutely love that. So I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts on that, what they think about it. Let me know. Like I said, we'll talk about it on Tuesday. We're Takeover Tuesday for the listeners, the podcast, no video, just the podcast. But speaking of the listeners, thank you to my patrons. Thank you very much for everybody supporting me. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can go over to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. and donate as little or as much as you want. You guys know the process of Patreon by now. And thank you for supporting me on Twitter. All of my Twitter followers, check me out over there at BrightsideHT. You can follow me and join in on the conversation over there. So until then, I will be pushing play on a bunch of stuff, but I'll be back on Tuesday and we'll talk about this and other comments. I've got a list of comments already. We'll be talking about all that. So till Tuesday, have a great weekend, everybody. Go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.